Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Where everybody at?
What up?
I'm hoping, well, we got JQ. I don't know about Gary. Gary's normally on 10 minutes beforehand, so I'm not sure what's going on with this, man. He is not on. Maybe nap like I did and have to get himself together. I don't know. We'll see, man. So we can text him to figure out what's happening with that. But, yeah, this is definitely just a quick rush edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man. We were trying to get this going. We weren't quite sure if it was actually happening, but in celebration of Valentine's Day, we decided it would be very wise to get the show on tonight, and that's what we did. And, you know, like we talked about, there's some people that need to celebrate that and make sure that they take care of their wives, man. So, again, for the others, we're not going to talk about anything else, but without further ado...
Trying to make sure y'all stay married.
Sports. Yeah.
What are you talking about? I had to tell you last week.
Well, I was going to try to schedule on a Wednesday. You're like, wait. Oh, that's 14. No.
No.
JQ knew, man. He had an X mark the spot. Hey, so anyway, we'll get this party started, too, as always.
Hey.
So, again...
just in case Eric was listening, JQ was on point.
Yeah, JQ got it.
No.
We don't have Gary yet. I don't know if you want to text him, Rob, see where he's at. But again, let's with everyone. I know JQ, you're busy working with crew, man. How you feeling this evening, man?
Oh man, I'm good. Just running around like a crazy person.
Working these jobs, bro. But I'm
Yeah, no.
I'm good. I got my headphones in here. I'm gonna connect and I'll be on in about 2 minutes.
Okay, you're good. No, it's fine because I don't know if I'm having like a little like it's just like a small delay. Cause I get nervous with Blog Talk because whenever that happens, just things go get a little wonky sometimes. So that's what's happening with me. So I just want to make sure I'm hearing you. I'm like, okay. I charge my headphones, so it's just one of those nights, man. So we'll see how that plays out. Rob Ford, what's going on?
Man, doing great, man. Yep. I've gotten off the my healthy kick here lately. I gotta get back on and starting tomorrow. Well, tomorrow Valentine, maybe Thursday.
I was gonna say you have to shoot tomorrow.
You're having asparagus tomorrow, right? It's gonna
I might squeeze it in, you never know. But I didn't have any today. But I took my team out for some Mexican food tonight, so those jalapeno margaritas are the real deal, man, if y'all don't know.
They're not bad. I'm more of a sweet person. I don't really like that sour taste, but I get it. I taste those before, too. It's not bad. So, yeah.
Last week it was the old-fashioned. Tonight there was a jalapeno margarita.
And you talk about me.
That is true. He'd be giving you the business too, JQ, man. So about you drinking, he over here probably getting lit, probably be having like 5 or 6 margaritas. He lit all the fun stuff. Hey, we are gonna get this party started here. Let me throw out the numbers. There is we got Naj joining us too. Really quickly, let's throw the number in for those who want to call in 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter or excuse me, at the number 12, THMN Sports, and facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th man. So we got a lot of things to discuss. Naj, welcome aboard. It's great to have you, man. We just went around the horn. Gary is not here tonight. We're trying to figure this out. So I don't know if he dropped off or, you know, I don't know. So we'll see.
I think there was some confusion. Maybe he thought we was canceling tonight and next week. I'm not sure.
He was like, I got plans. I don't want to do this. I'm going to sleep. Forget y'all. It's all good. We did kind of rush it because we were kind of debating whether we were going to jump on tonight. So we were officially taking the off week because somebody's going to be in Spain next week. This guy. Is that happening, Rob? Is that you going to be? Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be in Spain next week, right?
I'm going to be country hopping. I'll be in Spain, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and Paris.
This guy.
Y'all boys be everywhere, man.
Man, ain't no. Ain't going to be y'all boys. It'd be that boy. Ain't no y'all. Singular.
No, man. Nick, you be on the go, too, bro. Dre, too. Okay, you got a little boy shirt on.
Listen, I be domestic. You be flying out of Terminal E. You going international.
Yeah, huh?
That's what's up, man.
We got to get that experience in. Plus, you know, working for Delta has its perks, man. That is one of the cool things, man. So, yeah, that's why I definitely rub like, yo, let me just kind of take a couple flights. Once Dre gets that secondary lifestyle, man, just kind of hitting retirement, just want to just kind of hang out. That's what's going to happen, man. So,
put it on that. Gary already told us the secret about Ron Valentine's Day. I'm hit the Rob's game now.
the OG game, you take them out the night before so it ain't all the crowds and all that. Yeah, that's an OG move right there.
Mm-hmm, you know. When that deposit hits that account, baby, that's what it is.
Hey, I tell people all the time, as soon as football season is over, that's when I do my international travel. During football season, I do my domestic travel.
There it is, man. Listen,
there it is.
Listen, this is just jealousy talking. Don't you listen to this at all. It's just jealousy.
I love it, man. What a good start, dude. Now, I get you, man. That's the other sad part about what happened, too, because it's officially the end of football season for a couple months. But we got a lot of things to jump into, man. So let's get this party started.
Draft.
Yeah.
It ain't the same.
Taylor Swift.
Come on. Okay, let's go. Let's go.
Rob put on the topic, so I'm just saying, you know. So I'm just going off of that, too. Anyway, let's get this party started. We've given out the numbers. And I like how, you know, Rob's first topic was about Kyle Shanahan and making kind of the wrong overtime call. And it's pretty interesting. So you hear a couple of different situations where you hear, number one, because, again, you talk about a pretty significant thing that happened. Because this is, the second overtime game in two world history, which I thought was pretty awesome, right? Like, wow, this is actually happening. The second game that we're having. And even everyone, whenever we were like, when this was going down, I was at the San Francisco party, obviously, and they were like, hey, what does this mean? So I was kind of explaining what happened. I was like, okay, you know, teams. And so you think about the decision that was going up. Man, come on, get the heck out of here. So basically, we're looking at the rules and kind of figure that out. Come on, man. And so I'm explaining this, and so this is kind of new, like, oh, yeah, because before – and again, the whole line with Kyle Shanahan, what happened, because, you know, obviously what happened with the Patriots, and then you didn't get an opportunity to get a chance to answer back. And so the NFL, what do? They change the rules to, all right, give each team a possession, and that way you have an opportunity to make it a more exciting game. We'll talk about how this game was pretty exciting. But the confidence on the Chiefs side was totally different than the confidence on the 49ers side. Some players, like, we weren't really sure. We're kind of looking at the rules from – as it's going live, and it was just one of the situations where it's not looking good, Kyle, man. So if you're this control freak, you should kind of school your players on this. And then Chris Jones was like, yeah, we're definitely going to go. We're getting the ball. We're going to go for two. You're like, what? Like, they just knew, like, you know, they were going to go for this, score the touchdown and go for two if they had to, like, basically get a situation where they tied up. So it looks like a bad call. And Kyle was, like, trying to defend it, saying, well, yeah, you know, we wanted to get the ball for the third time, bro, you didn't even get a chance to get – you didn't get the job done the first time. So that's the problem there. You think, no, I'm going to kick a field goal. We're going to shut them down. And then we're going back and forth. It was just – Kyle, this is the one time, you know, I've always been a fan of him, but this is the one time, like, yo, bro, you completely messed this up. And, you know, trying to explain your way out of it just didn't look good because, and you got to give some Chiefs credit for defense too, but just, you know, a lot of things to talk about. I'm sure we're going to open up the floor. If Moody doesn't miss the extra point, you know, hold on to the conversation too. Shout out to Harrison Bunker from Georgia Tech too. A little shout out for him too. But anyway, a lot of things to discuss about that. So, you know, again, JQ, I'll let you have the floor, and then we'll go to Rob and JQ and all that, excuse me, and Naj and all that fun stuff too. So there you go.
Yeah, man, it's, you know, you got to know the rules, bro, and you got to educate your team on the rules. It's wild because you don't expect it because it's not like it's something that happens on a regular basis, especially in the Super Bowl. But, you know, it's one of those things. They just – listen, I think they wanted Kansas City to win that game. I watched them just murder Nick Bosa on the, coming off the edge multiple times where they just tackled that dude, him and Fred Warner on a couple of plays, really big plays that helped turn the game. You're talking about an offensive line that hadn't really played a clean game, like, all year, and they didn't call no penalties on them dudes. Like, you know, like, sometimes you see this, like, man, you got to throw one or two on them just to throw us off the scent. You know what I mean? Like, they played a whole game for five quarters, basically, because the overtime went all the way down to the end. So, I don't know. I mean, I get it. You still got to play the games. I mean, also, I mean, you know, Brock Purdy missed some throws. He overthrew, I think, like two or three touchdown passes he could have had. So, they had the opportunities in those games, you know, the fumbling with McCaffrey, and also the punt where it went off Buddy's foot, and he could, if Ray Ray just falls on the ball instead of trying to pick up and run with it, does that change the outcome of the game? Probably so, because you gifted Kansas City a touchdown. So, you know, I'm not going to put it all on the overtime, not knowing the rules. They had opportunities to win that game in regulation, but yeah, that's a tough loss for San Francisco, and it's sustained. But people forget that Andy Reid had that same problem in Philadelphia, where everybody used to talk about, could Andy Reid win the big one? He couldn't get the NFC Championship game, and then he got the Super Bowl. He couldn't win. And he got to Kansas City, and he's changed the narrative. So I'm not going to, you know, bury the dirt on Shanahan quite yet because, yeah, for sure, you got Patrick Mahomes. But I'm saying, if you think about it, though, like how we have the recency bias has changed the narrative for him in a good way because, of course, he's won Super Bowls. But Andy Reid was Kyle Shanahan in Philadelphia for a while.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna kill him right now. You know, we'll see how this thing plays out. So yeah, but you definitely have to know the rules though.
Yep. Yeah. No, I agree. I don't think you can blame the loss on the overtime decision, but was the overtime decision a bad call? Yes. And here's the deal. In the regular season, you take the ball first in overtime because a touchdown wins the game. But in the postseason, your strategy changes because you want to be the team to get the ball second because even if the first team scores a touchdown, the game continues. So
yep.
The strategy is different. In the regular season, this, you know, first team gets the ball and get a touchdown, the game's over. But like I said, in postseason overtime, even if the first team scores a touchdown, the other team gets a chance to counter. And so in that case, you want to be the team to get the ball second in this particular situation so you can at least match or do better than what the first team did. So that was the bad decision by Kyle Shanahan in that particular, you know, Chiefs get the ball 4-1 in overtime. Hey, you know that the 49ers scored a field goal, so you got to keep playing, right? You got to go, you know, and they easily get it. They go down the field, and, you know, Mahomes led a sensational drive down the field for a touchdown, right? So in this particular case, like I said, did it lose them the game? Maybe not, but it did. It was a bad decision on his part because in the playoffs, you got to – it's just like college football. You know, in college football, they get the ball with 25-yard line. But you always want your team to get the ball second. And this is the same case for the overtime rules in the NFL. You want to get the ball second so you can at least match or do better than what the first team did when they had the ball. So that was a bad call by Kyle Shanahan. And probably a lot of NFL coaches watching that game,
they
probably learned from that, too. The referees did a great job explaining the rules for overtime at the coin toss. And so, I mean, so even if the coaches didn't explain it to you, the referees did. The referees did a detailed explanation of the overtime rules for the playoffs, right? And Shanahan still decided to take the ball. But they still decided to take the ball. So that was a bad call on their part.
Yeah. A lot of this is, okay, y'all disrespect Jeff Fisher and look at his mustache. Well, he's on the competition committee, and they come out with these rules every once in a while. And you can even read it when they send you the email. So, you know, read the stuff when they send the stuff out. But I do got to say, I do think this is overblown. I think Kyle is being unfairly slandered on this. I think ultimately he thought, we'll get the ball and shut out to Matt Hasselbeck, and we're going to score. I think that was his thinking. We're going to score, we'll get a stop, and we're going to win this game. That's how he's going into it. Now, flip the coin.
But it didn't work
on
for Matt Hasselbeck when he figured. Remember, Matt Hasselbeck was pick six.
For sure.
Pick six.
For sure.
Pick six. Show me.
The great Matt Hasselbeck. But flip the scenario, and the Chiefs are looking at this as a preparation thing, and they're talking about this in training camp, that if we're in a scenario where it's overtime in the playoffs, we're going to always defer so we can have the ball last, and then if they scored, we're going to go for two. So it's one guy going with his gut and the other guy's going with analytics. So, yeah, the Chiefs got an edge by picking the right thing. But I do think we're going a little too hard on Kyle on this because I think ultimately he was saying, I just want to shorten this game. I think we can get a score and a stop. And you know, it didn't happen. But it was so much more that happened in that game that I can't blame the OT thing. But, you know, it is what it is, man. There's your guts versus analytics. Scenario right there, played out in real time.
Yeah, we can kind of beat this dead topic to, you know, to a pulp, man, because, again, we're talking about everything that comes with that, and it looks, you know, if you're thinking you're college anyway, you're going with all that confidence, like you said, Naj, oh, we can make it happen. And it was unique that they actually had to drive the length of the field, right? Both teams had the opportunity to do that. But like you said, everyone has talked about this. There were so many things that could have been different before you even got to overtime. You gave them too much time, number one, to kind of score back, too, to get the touchdown. And you know, obviously when there was like a minute and 53 seconds left, I'm like, man, I was thinking in my head that's too much time for Patrick Mahomes, and that came back to bite him, you know, because they were doing a pretty good job of controlling, you know, containing him in the first couple of quarters. And you're like, man, it always comes down to the fourth quarter, that rears your ugly head again as far as, you know, Kyle Shanahan can't close the door. And my brother-in-law hates him with the passion. He's like, yeah, still bad calls, still things he didn't do right. And like you said, Jake, I don't know. I don't know whether to blame it or be like, man, just bad luck or just, you know, like you said, Chris Jones playing out of his mind. You know, just it was just a lot of things that kind of went different in that game, too. It's just, you know, like, what do you do, man? Yeah. Taylor Swift over there.
And you might want to block Chris Jones.
Well,
you might want to block him. You're right.
He just had this that one. Yeah, Steve Spagnuolo, man, you know. Yeah, so everything, there's a lot of different things could have, would have, should have that happened in that game. And like you said, it was a lot closer than what we anticipated, even though Vegas had it right as far as the 40, I think it was a 47 spread with both teams. So that was interesting how they were right on point with that, too. So anyway.
It was 47.5 and dropped down to 46.5 right before game time. That's crazy.
You're like, whoa, come on now.
If you're the house – come on now, if you're the house, you got to take money from the degenerate who bet at the last minute. So you got to move the line because you're going to take their money because they just want action. They don't care about the line. I'll take it. Right. So you got to take that money.
And I think we're ultimately saying the same thing here is that, you know, the decision, do we think that was the reason why the 49ers lost the game? There's multiple reasons why they lost the game. But that was not the right decision at that particular time. Doesn't necessarily mean that's the one reason why the 49ers lost the game.
Agreed.
I would slap the domino on the table that they were extremely unlucky. The punt comes down, hits the guy in the foot. My man, as one of my coaches used to say, relieves himself down his leg and panics and tries to catch the ball, grab the ball and keep running. But in that scenario, how many people would panic? The majority of people would panic in that scenario.
Yeah.
Then we get the scenario where Travis Kelce has one catch for 1 yard in the first half. Dre Greenlaw is shadowing him and doing a damn good job. He hurts himself on the most unpredictable, ridiculous injury we've ever seen in Super Bowl history. And the backup mm-hmm. comes in, and Travis Kelce puts that boy in the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Storm a new one.
How is it? Like, that's not planning. That's unlucky. So we got to add that to him.
I saw what Mason Smith at LSU, man, on the Superdome turf. He jumped up, just jumped up in the air for a celebration. It tore his ACL when he landed.
Damn.
Freak
All right, gentlemen. Yeah, I can agree with that too, Nas. A lot of things, man. All right, let's talk about some interesting things that are going on with the NIL name, image, likeness.
Drake, before you do that, can I just say something real quick?
Absolutely.
Because we got to say this. The Kansas City Chiefs said, we've got two good corners. We're going to play cover zero, cover one, and cover two, and come after you all night because we don't think Brock Purdy can make the plays to beat him. That kind of has to be said. Not that Brock Purdy mm-hmm. played badly. He didn't look scared. He looked like he was his same self. The onus on him to win that game. Like, dude,
go
look up those rates for cover zero. Like, they just came after him all night and said
Spagnuolo
and Ayuk are not going to win on the outside.
Steve Spagnuolo did a phenomenal job of dialing up the blitzes at the right time, and he sent them from a different spot almost every time he dialed them up. And he got the pressure. You know, JQ alluded to those missed touchdowns. But he had mm-hmm. to rush the throws because of the pressure that was on him. And Spagnuolo on those third and medium, so he had like third and four, third and five, third and six. He was sending a blitz, and he got the Purdy
every
and forced
time.
Him to throw some bad throws. In the red zone, even outside of the red zone, I mean, I thought he did a phenomenal job dialing up the right calls and the right blitz at the right time,
mm-hmm.
particularly in the second half.
That's what we talked about, too, and this is what we're talking about as far as Kyle, because, like, the blame there was just a good, you know, strategy, because I felt like he kind of ran Christian McCaffrey in the ground. It was like, we have other running backs, right? You know, that's kind of the knock I'm hearing from a lot of San Francisco fans. It was like, you know, that's right, man. I mean, yeah, that's right, man. So, you know, I got family here, so I gotta represent. But, so again, you're watching the game, you're like, okay, well, you know, what's going on with that? How come Christian's running too much? And then, like you talked about, this has definitely changed my perspective because, you know, as you talked about, JQ, Brock Purdy he seemed composed, but it's kind of a different level when you have a quarterback that's gone through that, that's experienced. And it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes. Not that Brock Purdy played bad, but just, again, does Patrick Mahomes make those throws? That's the whole other conversation, too. But, you're just kind of looking at the whole, you know, scheme of the game. Like, you know, and you know, Brady said the right things. You know, the game manager thing, he's been getting hit with that all week. And he didn't play bad, but, you know, that kind of shows you kind of a different situation as far as, you know, quarterback play, because you do want somebody that it's hard, man. You're a game manager, but then you also need to be a playmaker at certain points, too. You got to be able to make certain throws out of your mind if you can do that, too. And I know it's tough. You know, making plays outside of the normal situation too. But, you know, like you said, that should never be like, damn, that dude made some plays. You know, because, again, if you have a blitz, you just get away, make a nice throw, different conversation. You know, again, this is something that you have to get outside of coaching too, because you've got great coaching. George Kittle was pretty much invisible, and you're like, damn, you know, what's going on? You know, they weren't falling for the counter trades. You know, every time they did like over, you know, they're like, hey, we're not, you're not going to run against us. San Francisco, they pretty much blocked all the running lanes. They're going to, like you said, they're going to make Brock Purdy beat him. And it was a situation where he just couldn't do it. I mean, not because he was terrible, just that was just a good play call designed by Steve Spagnuolo. So it's just it's a lot, man.
Yeah, those two corners are amazing.
Yeah,
and they both
played.
McDuffie did some stuff. Yeah, they did a fantastic
job. Jimmy Duffy, all pro.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on. We're talking about the goddamn Chiefs.
This guy, All right. I was trying to switch on living in America. You're going to be talking about them for a long time, brother.
No, I am. Turn the goddamn TV off and go be productive.
Oh, man.
We're not going to talk about this much here. So let's talk about, damn, we got a lot of things to talk about. We'll skip around here because we had spent like almost 30 minutes talking about that, 25 minutes at least. NIL, right? We're talking about this. We talked about this is leading to a lack of depth in the draft, right? And so, Rob, JQ, all on you guys, man. What'd you say to this? Who wants to take this first?
Well, I mean, I think what's happening in this particular draft, not only is the NIL, but it's also the sixth year, a lot of these players are granted COVID, too. And I think this year, it seems to be the year that's going to affect the draft. So this draft seems to be pretty solid in the first four rounds, right? But the lack of depth from fifth, sixth, seventh, and the free agent pool, you're going to see that in this particular draft. So scouts are going to really have to do their homework to really find some diamonds in the rough in the fifth, sixth, and seventh round, and even in the free agent pool this year, because there were some fringe players that decided to take NIL deals and stay in school. I mean, JQ can attest to that. Ohio State had a bunch of those guys that would have been drafted this year but decided to stay in school, probably more than any other school in the country this
year.
Damn
it, why are you staying in school? Go to the draft. Don't stay in school. Go ahead.
So, I mean, Ohio State's probably one of the schools that got more of those guys than any school in the country. But then you look at Cam Ward, who would have been somewhere around a third or fourth round pick at the quarterback position. He signs a deal to go to Miami, right? You look at Riley Leonard going from Duke to Notre Dame, another mid-round guy that could have been somewhere around a third to a fifth round guy in this particular draft. I mean, those are just a few examples. You look at Trevion Henderson at Ohio State, decided to go back to school. And you got countless guys at Ohio State that did that, about five or six
Jack
of them.
Sawyer.
Yeah, there would have been. Yep. Emeka Ibuka, the wide receiver.
Yep.
He had an injury year. He could have been a late first round or early second round pick. So you got a lot of guys that looked at the opportunity to sign NIL deals and stay in school and hopefully improve their draft stock going into next year. Now, next year is going to be different. Next year's draft, you're probably going to see a lot of depth in the draft because a lot of these guys are going to have to come out next year. And we're kind of coming out of that sixth year in COVID, too. So this year is going to be really hard after the fourth round to really find some players that can help your team in this draft.
But you know what's going to be crazy? It's going to probably be a lot more movement, right? Because people are going to say, hey, I'll give up that fifth, sixth, or seventh this year. Just trying to move up if I can go get that guy in that first four rounds because of the points you just made. And, yeah. The NIL, being able to stay in school and be comfortable and not have to go somewhere where you don't want to go. And then I know for Ohio State, which is just for unfinished business. But like, saying JT Tuamalu, this fool is going to get his own shampoo in Columbus. It's going to be on the shelves. You know what I'm saying? With his face on it. So, like, it's wild how. He's got that hair and he's getting his own shampoo. That's just an example. I only know that because, of course, that's my school that I root for. But I'm sure you can probably go down the line in terms of top 10, 15 programs where dudes are like, I don't necessarily want to go that late. I want to be able to control a little bit more of my own destiny. I can make some of that same money and stay in school and live a simpler lifestyle and still be the big man on campus, right? And it's wild because, yeah, you get that money, but you don't get the benefit of that 3-4 year deal where you feel like you get a little bit more of that financial commitment security, right, assignment. So it is a little different and amazing how it's changed, but I also think, you see Nick Saban retiring, you see the playoff expanding. I think you see some other dudes that, and I love it. Maybe they legitimately, hey, I can make money and I can still chase that dream of being a college football champion with more access to the playoffs now coming this year. So I think that's also a piece of it that we can't discount. We always say amateurs are dead and these dudes don't care about winning, but I think a piece of that is the fact that they're standing in schools that have a chance to make that top 12, right, and get a chance to go hold that trophy at the end of it and then go to the NFL. So hats off to those dudes that are loving their collegiate experience and getting paid for it, and they stand in school.
Yeah,
And what do all abusers want? To take away your options. So you get an abusive dude with a girl. He doesn't want her talking to her family because he wants to isolate her. So that way she doesn't have what? Options. So
no,
in a scenario where the college kids actually have options, now we hear the NFL crying. Shout out to the Spider-Man GIF. You're going to cry? GMs are actually going to have to do their job? Front offices are going to have to do their job? You're going to have to send scouts out and scout people and figure out who's good? Where's the diamond in the rough? Oh, my God. We spend so much time babying these diva GMs. We cry about, don't pay the running back. You can't pay him. Oh, don't do this. Oh, if you have to pay the quarterback, I don't know how you going to make a roster. You got to pay a quarterback. We spend so much time babying these GMs. Well, now they got to earn their money, and I'm glad. So, yeah, GMs, if you're good, show you good in this draft. Show me in a shallow draft that doesn't have the talent that it normally does that you can maneuver up and down the board and make it happen. Otherwise, man, y'all just nepotism cases of you're related to the owner and you got the job and now you're just a guy in there crying about the salary cap. And yes, I hate GM. That's why I'm saying all this, because y'all let them slide with way too much, man. Tired of these sorry-ass GMs.
And it's going to be something about to get used to, because it's not going to be a one-year wonder. Like, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think even if you take them out the COVID year, those dudes that might have been juniors, that say instead of going in the fifth or sixth, seventh round, but I'm the big dude on my campus right now, I'm going to get this money to stay here and I can improve my stock, you know, so I can get maybe a better deal, you know, going to the draft, they're going to stay. So unless they radically change the way the NIL works, I don't think this is going to be something that's just going to be kind of like a one-off. But this is going to be the new world order. To your point, Naj, that GM's not being used to, so you might as well start practicing now.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, too, because I was looking at the article, JQ, because they're saying, like, you know, normally whenever you're a junior, like, that's whenever you're getting that biggest amount of people coming out, right? You're juniors, I'm coming in the pool, I'm going to take that early underclassmen, and that pool has basically been eliminated, right? So now it seems unlikely you're going to have to change all these rules because, you know, obviously is there a situation where, you know, NFL, as you talked about so eloquently, Naj, are they going to make the change where, okay, if you don't make an NFL roster, do you get a chance to go back to college, right? Something like that may have to happen. So that way you can at least open. I don't know. Like, that's what everyone's talking about, right? Because, again,
I don't think that's going to ever happen.
It's a tough.
Once you sign
the
college,
they're going to want that.
That's what I've been reading. Like, is that something that you're going to have to do? So, like you said, you got to adapt some way, right?
But the problem with that is
right?
to the college, and that dude goes, and he's going through that process. Now you're in April time frame for the draft, but he don't make it or in training camp, and now you already got your numbers because you're giving that scholarship away, and he don't make it. He don't have a landing spot to go back to because now you've had to get that dude some NIL money, you filled that roster spot, and that dude don't have a landing spot to go back to. That's why I don't think the college coaches are going to want that. They're going to say, hey, man, if you left, hey, I love you being here, but, you know, I still got to fill these 185 scholarships I've already promised to this next dude. If you come back, then he goes into the transfer portal. I only got you for one more year. I could have had him for 3 years, depending on where he is, you know, in terms of his matriculation in college. So I just can't see the college coaches want to have to keep juggling the scholarships like that, waiting to hold a scholarship in reserve because they're hoping that dude don't pan out in the draft or in training camp if he want to come back home.
That's not what Andre said.
Ain't so
fun
when the rabbit got the gun.
But that's funny. But they said that last year there was 1,127 players that entered the transfer portal last year. That is crazy. So again, it's going to keep happening. It's going to keep happening. So whether you like it or not, if you held a start, you know, hey, it's a situation where it's going to keep happening. Like, who's got the most deals? I mean, so something's got to change. Because if not, we're going to be right back at this again, or Naj, you figure it out. You know, yeah, go.
No, I agree with Dr. Transfer Portal. I'm just saying if I'm a college coach, I don't want to be in flux with the dude trying to come in and out of the draft process and coming back to school, and now I'm trying to get to my spring game and get ready for the season. You know, like that puts a lot more on them that they're already complaining about having to deal with it. You're talking about these GMs, these college coaches in this NIL, boy, it's kicking their ass. It's kicking their ass.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh,
you look at Chip Kelly.
He's telling some lies.
Chip Kelly struggled.
He's going to get 20 carries a game next year. Yeah, college
gets 20 carries a year?
Man, they're going to be selling dreams like hell. You can get 20 carries, man. We're going to mess around and give you five catches a game, man. you know, we're going to prepare you for the NFL. This is the best place to be. I want NFL front office people running through the airport like the juice to Hertz to get the last rental car in Birmingham, Alabama, to go scout somebody. Yeah. Put in that work that y'all tell us y'all do so much. That's why those these coveted jobs are only given to the, you know what I mean, the most enlightened. So let us know. Put that work in.
There it is.
You want to go to Birmingham to go scout a UAB, right?
Yeah, you got to get there. They got a pass rusher. You better get there.
There it is. We're going to skip around a little bit here, a lot of things here, because I do want to talk about a couple things, too. The question for you guys, where will Justin Fields play next season?
I hope it ain't goddamn Pittsburgh. Sorry. But, yeah.
I think Pittsburgh is one of the top three destinations. I will say that.
I know it is.
Yeah. If it's not Chicago, and I think Pittsburgh, Atlanta, and Las Vegas are the top three destinations, in my opinion. And it's just a matter of who's going to willing to give up more to Chicago. I think all three of them are going to make the phone call, that's for sure. You look at Las Vegas, their new offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, was the offensive coordinator with Chicago and Justin Fields, right? So, I think he's going to at least put in a word for him in Las Vegas, right? And then Pittsburgh is the one seems to be the most open about it, right? Right now. Yeah, I know the sense in Atlanta is the fans want them, but you haven't heard the organization say a whole lot about it yet. I mean, they shouldn't, though. The organization shouldn't be talking about it. But, you know, there's a lot of talk about Pittsburgh definitely being interested in either Justin Fields or Ryan Tannehill. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill with the Arthur Smith
Ryan
connection
Tannehill.
When they were in Tennessee Pretty together. But, it's just going to come down to who's wants to give up what, right? You know, right now they're saying that the going rate is going to be a second-round pick for them. There might be a team willing to give up a first for them, right? You know, Pittsburgh's got the 20th overall pick. Atlanta's got the 8th overall pick. Las Vegas got the 13th overall pick, right? Are one of them teams willing to give up a first for them? We'll have to wait and see.
Hell
right
no.
Now they're saying the going rate seems to be a second-round pick for them.
Well, my thing is, if it didn't, the Luke Getsy thing, I just don't think that you saw that how that worked out, and it just didn't go. And I think Luke Getsy ain't nothing but Arthur Smith in disguise. Like I said, that Spider-Man meme where all three of them pointing at each other. Like why would you want to do that? You know, like it's going to go and be the same kind of nonsense. If I'm Justin, I would really much more try to see what Raheem Morris and that staff is going to do in Atlanta, because I feel like you know what Luke is going to do. Arthur Smith has told you what he's going to do, and it's not going to really be to get him to be the quarterback that he wants to be. Will he help him with his – will he use his legs? He will. But the evolution of making Justin also a dual threat thrower and a runner, I think the best spot is for Atlanta. But number 8 overall is and I love Justin.
Too steep.
But number 8 overall is steep.
Hell no.
Like, if you get, what is it, number 40 or 41st, if you give him that second-round pick, where you almost feel like you got another first-round pick, yeah, if Pittsburgh does that, Pittsburgh is desperate. Even at 20, I think that's a lot.
Yeah.
But for Atlanta at 8, with so many options, so you feel like Atlanta could, somebody could want to move up to 8, they could trade down, then take that pick and gain some capital and then give it to Chicago to go get Justin. Like, 8 is really steep. I love Justin Fields. That's really steep. Like, second round, I could see. But for Atlanta, number 8 overall?
8 would be too much. But I will say this. If I'm Pittsburgh, I will consider giving up the 20 pick. I'll tell you why. Look at the quarterbacks who might be available at number 20. Maybe Bo Nix, and Bo Nix might be gone by then. So you might have Michael Penix. So what?
I said about one of them, Bo Nix. I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You were treating one of your picks. If you look at the quarterbacks that might be available, Bo Nix probably going to be gone, and Justin Fields is better than Bo Nix. I think we all would agree with that, right? And Bo Nix
might
be a pick before number 20. Then you got Michael Penix Jr. and J.J. McCarthy, right?
I don't know.
You would take Justin Fields over both of those guys. So if you were Steelers, you consider trading that number 20 pick. If I'm a Steelers organization, I have no problem trading that number 20 pick overall to get Justin Fields when you look at the fact that the three quarterbacks that might be in that range are Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., and J.J. McCarthy. I'm making that.
Somebody turn Rob's mic off. I don't like this kind of conversation. Turn his damn mic off.
Neither do I. Neither do I. I don't want none of this bullshit.
I'm being objective. There's another part to this. I think number 20 is a viable solution. The only problem is the Steelers are conservative as hell, as we all know, and a bidding war is not something that they would try to win and look at as a, you know, something good for their organization. So I think if they put 20 up there, I think Atlanta would do a second this year and a second next year or something like that. They would look at that draft calculator and say, okay, what can we throw on there to kind of beat that deal? And I think they would beat it. And at that point, Pittsburgh bows out because we know Pittsburgh, man. They don't make irresponsible moves football-wise. And at a certain cost, Justin Fields is just not that. So I think Atlanta or Vegas – would be more irrational and offer more than what they should for Fields. So that's where I'm at on it.
Let me ask you this. Because two of those three I'll give you. I wouldn't want J.J. McCarthy throwing the football, and I wouldn't want Bo Nix. But if I'm Pittsburgh and I don't like it, I think I might have to really look at Michael Penix Jr. right there and say, look what he did with those weapons he had in Washington. Now I'm going to give him. And that motherfucker's crazy as hell, but George Pickens is talented, but he's an asshole. But he's a talented asshole, right? You got two-headed running back monster back there. You got pass fire move with tight end. You got Deontay and Pickens. You know, like, you give him weapons. Like, you don't go in. He doesn't go to Pittsburgh devoid of weapons. And so I'm like, what I want, and then I get him with the clock started with that rookie did, you know, saying that rookie did with the 4 years, the fifth-year option versus now if I trade for Justin, he's on this one. I got to go ahead and extend him anyway because I got to justify giving up the 8th or the 20th pick in the first round. So I give you two of those three. But the Michael Penix one is interesting. Depending on how that medical come out, on those ACLs and those legs, and how they choose to use it. But then you got Arthur Smith crazy ass that might run him into the damn ground. So the Arthur Smith hire is some of the wildest shit ever. I love it.
I agree.
For Pittsburgh because I feel like that's dumb as hell. But how do you watch him run that offense? It's like, you know what? I need that guy. I just don't get
it. They just felt like he needed a quarterback, and that's what he probably sold the dream. Like, man, I didn't have a good job. I didn't have a good situation, which I don't know how you explain yourself out of that one. But we've all made some good points about this, too. And like you said, the thing about Pittsburgh.
NFL is nothing but recycling coaches, man. That's all it is.
We're getting a little better. We're getting a little better, certainly, with the new crop of things that happen, and I would say we're going to see it happen this year. There's some interesting situations, too. There's still some old heads in there, but it's going to be interesting. But, Rob, you know, you did nail it. You said it objectively. That's what Pittsburgh should do, right? They have the best situation as far as, hey, it's a first-round pick.
I got no problem.
Jake, you don't
want to
hear any of that.
Not overall.
Either. Like, we don't want to hear any of this, but I'm saying it does make sense. I would say
– No, I'm not saying he's wrong.
From the Pittsburgh
I don't like
set.
It, but I'm not saying
yeah.
he's wrong.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I don't like it either because I'm like, damn, if you – because that's, you know, if you're looking at a first-round pick versus a second-round, first-round picks can win every single time. So that's whenever you're going to lose out on that situation. And like you said, Naj, you know, Pittsburgh, hey, this is our pick. You know, they're going to be confident with it. And the history about Pittsburgh, you know, you go back to the Charlie Batches, to the Cordell Stewarts, they know, like, they're going to get some quarterbacks in there. You're like, so they know, hey, we messed up with this one. Can you pick it? Yeah, we effed up with that one. What's the next move? But I agree with you in that, it would just if the Atlanta fans, like, you're hoping that we get him because it makes sense as far as that's kind of the best situation for us and right now, besides trading up and giving up everything for the number one pick. If you're like, hey, we're going all in for Caleb Williams, then you're trading your mama, your dad, you're trading everything for that. And that could be the case, too. A different lens that I'm watching the Super Bowl, I'm like, man, you know, are you prepared to, you know, do you have to have a quarterback that's going to be able to make those decisions, you know, because if you're going to go that far, you got to have a quarterback that's got experience, right? You can get a rookie in here, and it's going to be challenging as well, too. So no matter what, you're kind of like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? So you got to pick, okay, well, do we pick this guy that, you know, he's a good processor of information. He could be the guy. He's just young enough to grow the franchise. Or do you start scratch and say, all right, we're going to grab this guy right here? And you're already outside of, you know, like you said, unless you're trading up, who's at number 8? You know, you're not going to get anybody, right? You know, are you getting Penix at 8? No, probably not.
No,
you know,
but if you give up that second-round pick and Kyle Pitts and you get Justin Fields and you use the 8th pick in the first round and you take Brock Bowers, ooh, Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That could be an option too, right? So that's what I see that too. I'm like, ah. So you're kind of picking, okay, let's get some weapons, and this is the situation now. You kind of erased the mistake that you had right there with drafting Pitts over Justin Fields. So, you know, but there's so many different, like, ties to this too. Do, like we talked about, do the Chicago Bears want to play ball? Are they going to be vindictive and say, yeah, you know, we're going to give our Justin Fields to Pittsburgh because of that first-round pick, you know? So you're going to try to sweeten the deal. As Nye said, you're going to try to do something. Here's a Kyle Pitts. Here's AJ Terrell.
No, you can't give up AJ Terrell.
They're going to do irrational stuff is what I'm trying to say. Go ahead, Rob.
Organization, they're going to try to get the best deal that they possibly can for the organization, number one. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, if they feel like two or three organizations or the value that they're offering are equal, they're going to go with the team that's in another conference. I mean, that's what they normally do, right? So they will look at a Steelers offer out of AFC or a Raiders offer out of the AFC, unless the Falcons offer is, you know, better than what the Steelers and the Raiders offer. Then you're going to go with the Falcons offer. But if they're equal, they're going to make the trade to the AFC team. I mean, that's what they're going to do. They're going to like,
and I don't need that. We don't need every goddamn team in the AFC to have a good quarterback. Can we stop this shit? Because someone's saying the NFC? God damn it.
You said you weren't told him Justin Fields, man. What are you talking about?
Listen, I want to be told on him in the NFC. I would love for him to go to Atlanta. Jeez. No more vacancies. The end is full. Go that way. Damn it.
You go this way. You go that way. What?
These AFC teams know they got to beat number 15, man.
See, yeah. I mean, that. If you think about what they just had to do, he had to beat freaking Allen, Jackson, and then beat the two seed. I mean, like, that gauntlet he had to run. I hate Kansas City, but having to go through Allen and Jackson, that's where you are right now. You know what I'm saying? In the AFC, we don't need another entry. We don't.
And never forget, this is him with a wide receiver group who he didn't like. Guess what happens next year when they upgrade that wide receiver room?
And you
probably
know
not playing on the road.
Right. Yeah.
Damn.
All right.
Rob,
yeah.
Do your mock draft real quick.
Kansas City's going to upgrade the offensive line, and they're going to upgrade that receiver room for sure. That's the two weaknesses, and they still won a Super Bowl.
Right.
Defense was dominant.
I don't want to talk about
them. That's why they won. Defense wins championships. Rob, do the mock draft, man. Get the hell out of here, man. Talk about the mock draft, where we're at. And
they might try to upgrade the tight end position, too, because Travis Kelce is going to be 35 years old. So, yeah, we have to look to see what that looks like, too. I mean, Kelce will still have an impact next year, but you got to start looking at that guy for the future, too. All right, mock draft, the latest one. Got a few changes. We still got Caleb Williams, number one, in Chicago. Got Drake May, number two, to Washington. I got New England taking Marvin Harrison Jr., number three, in this mock. I got the Giants trading up to number four and getting Jaden Daniels. I got the Chargers taking Brock Bowers at five. I got Arizona obviously trading down to six. Since they missed out on Marvin Harrison, they trade down to get Malik Nabers, wide receiver from LSU. Tennessee, Joe Alt, offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Atlanta, this is my first mock where I got y'all taking Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama. Roma Dunze, wide receiver from Washington, going to the Bears at nine. So they would get Caleb Williams and Roma. And 1 and 9 picks overall to go with DJ Moore in that offense. You got the Jets need some much-needed help on the offensive line. Alu Fashanu, offensive tackle from Penn State. J.J. McCarthy, got him going to number 11 from Minnesota. Byron Murphy, defensive tackle from Texas to Denver. I got Las Vegas taking Terrion Arnold, cornerback from Alabama. Terrion Arnold had a heck of a year. You know, coming into the season, everyone thought Kool-Aid McKinstry was the top corner from Alabama. But, I mean, Kool-Aid. I still got him going in the first round, number 23 overall. But Terrion Arnold has kind of surpassed him now, going number 13. I got Bo Nix going to the Saints at number 14. Now that they got Clint Kubiak from the San Francisco tree, they like to have a lot of quarterbacks on the roster. So I got Bo Nix going to 14 to the Saints. Cooper DeShaun, cornerback from Iowa to Indy. In Seattle, got J.C. Latham, offensive tackle from Alabama, going to Seattle. And Jacksonville got him taking Nate Wiggins, cornerback from Clemson. And I'll stop at the Bengals. Latu, edge rusher from UCLA. Could be a big-time steal there, too.
Shout out to civil rights champion, Iowa cornerback. I hope the racism doesn't affect his draft position. I hope we don't see people trying to move him to safety and dropping him in the draft because his talent, like he said, is what it is, and he should be drafted there. And he is a corner. Racist people, stop trying to move that boy to safety. He's proven it.
Hey, and the coach front seven was good. They need some help in that back end of that defense. So, you know, he's on the board. But check this out. I got the coach taking Cooper DeShaun in the first round, cornerback. And I got him taking Ladd McConkey, wide receiver from Georgia in the second round. What y'all think about that? Not only are you getting the white corner, but you're getting the white wide receiver, too.
That play well in
Indianapolis.
Hmm?
Yeah, that will play. That will play well.
Yeah. And McConkey is a great possession receiver, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anthony Gonzalez was really good until Peyton decided to end his life.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Throwing that ball over the middle. The only thing about the Bengals is I would love a defensive a pass rusher, but I got to keep Joe Burrow upright. I got to keep him healthy for a whole season. I don't want to reach for an offensive tackle, but, man, they got to get some offensive line help in this draft. Yeah, I guess some cheap, good offensive line help so they can spend that money on other places. They got to.
Gotta
keep them upright. Gotta keep making through a season. We make it through a season, they do good things. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it is
like
a deep draft for tackle, too. It's a deep draft for tackle. So
it
that's
is.
One good thing that you noticed about that, too. So you got some situations
you're
for that.
At range.
I think it's deep for wide receivers, too. Yeah, wide receivers pretty – yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Kelly Ifuagu, offensive tackle from Oregon State. They got him going number 22 right now to Philadelphia. So he will be the next guy off the board after the Bengals pick. And Amarius Mims, offensive tackle from Georgia. Got him going Dallas to 24. And you got Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle from Arizona. Actually got him going to Arizona at 27. So that the Cardinals will pick up Malik Nabers and an offensive tackle to help Kyler.
And that's what worries me, though. If they do that and then you get that run that happens right behind them, then now you're reaching the second and third round because you missed in the first when you should have just taken one. That's what I'm like. Mims has been projected to Cincinnati in a lot of drafts, that's all. Not from Georgia. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bringing back the Marvin Lewis days of keep on drafting Georgia players, man. That was the
all Georgia,
you know,
players.
Okay?
Yeah, that dude was wild. Orson Charles from there. Sorry.
No, good draft, like I said, again. No, you're good. I mean, like I said, good draft, Rob. We appreciate you always doing that. Man, there's a couple things to talk about, too, because if you're the Chargers, you're hoping that Brock Bowers is there for you, right? Because that's the situation. Brings back the days of, like, you know, freaking Antonio Gates having
be.
A dynamic tight end, too. So that's something I know there's a lot of situations that looks like a good pick for them. I am intrigued. Jake Stickley.
I can't
believe
I think at number five. It's just a matter
of
the Chargers
gave both Nicks.
So what?
I can't believe you gave yourself both Nicks. That blows my mind.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. I didn't say I was happy about it.
Unbelievable.
I just know.
It's shown by the draft.
Hey, I'm going to be as objective as possible. I know Clint Kubiak is coming over as the new offensive coordinator. He's under that Kyle Shanahan tree. They like having 2 to 3 quarterbacks on the roster. And I just, you know, that's just what they do. You know, they'll go out and sign other previous first-round picks, Sam Darnold, you name them, right? They're going to keep a bunch of quarterbacks on their roster. And such. Last year they had about 3 of them and 3 first-round picks on the roster last year. Well, one was a second-round pick. Well, no, I'm sorry. Brock Purdy is not a first-round pick, but he's playing. He's a starter, right? But he's got a second-round pick and another first-round pick on the roster. So they like to keep quarterbacks.
Tell me you got to take one in the first round. That's what I was like, bro, please don't give yourself Bo Nix. That is terrible.
I tell you one thing. If Bo Nix does go there, he can expect no help from the starting quarterback there because that man is going to be insecure and worried like a bump if Bo Nix shows up and breaks.
Well,
the perfect
mock for the Saints would be an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, in my opinion. That would be the perfect mock for the Saints as of right now, in my book.
Yeah.
But they also got a lot of those guys available in free agency this year, too. A lot of good offensive linemen and defensive linemen available in free agency. They're going to come at a cost, though.
Right. And that's why I feel like the Bengals, you know, you got, I want to keep Chase. I want to keep Higgins. Why not take some of that money, get the cheaper, good talent on the line, and then pay the proven dudes on the outside to keep it with Burrow. That's what I'm like.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, did you hear that Saints podcast where freaking Jameis Winston was talking about he wanted to play for the Falcons? Did you hear that nonsense? Did you see that on some podcast?
I know today he came out saying he's hoping to get to stay with the Saints. I know he's all
in
New Orleans partying at Mardi Gras.
Jameis said he's just trying to have a job. He's not going anywhere.
I was personally shocked that the Saints brought him back last year, and I will
Me
be
too.
Shocked again if they bring him back this year, especially at that stunt he did in the last game of the season.
Yep.
I thought that was like, what the hell, this dude right here, ultimate hater. Hater,
yeah.
Get the hell out of here. Yeah, well, it's going to be an interesting offseason, man. I think this is like one of those, like, until the draft day comes, man, this is going to be a very unique offseason, man, because you got to figure out what's going to happen with Russell Wilson. They got to make a decision on his salary, like what March the 12th, I'm hearing about that. So if he gets cut or released, that's going to open up some stuff. What's going to happen with Kirk Cousins? You keep hearing, you know, obviously the ACL tear, is he an option for Falcons, or where is he going to go? Is Minnesota going to re-sign him? There's a lot of different moving pieces with this, you know, in this offseason for sure, man. So, you know, it's going to be you know, what are the Bears going to do? We're going to have to Justin Fields. We talk about this all
the
show.
You know what's crazy? You may not want to hear this, but with Zach Robinson's offense, you know, as a new coordinator for the Falcons, Kirk Cousins is probably a better fit for his offense than Justin Fields is, to be honest.
We do know that. Yeah, but see, if you do that, then you got to draft the quarterback to, you know, you got to get somebody to kind of replace him, you know. And again, that's where we're all over the map. You want somebody that you've got the weapons, you need somebody to deliver, right? So I don't hate that, but it's like I just don't know what the hell you're going to do, right? His wife, they got married,
right.
His wife in Alpharetta, so he got married in Georgia. So that's, you know, I've heard all that all freaking week, man, that this is a good opportunity. But again, 30, he would be 35, he'll be 36 for the season in ACL.
You're going
to
have to draft
a
quarterback if you sign Kirk
Cousins.
Yeah.
So it's just, but that's the thing.
It's like, once that Justin Fields domino falls, it's like it's falling off a cliff because you get Kirk Cousins with the age and the ACL, and then you go all the way down to Ryan Tannehill. So it's like this field sweepstakes may get hotter than what we think it will.
I was going to say.
And
Russell
is going to get every dollar from the Broncos. He's not taking any shorts from them, and that's going to be real late. And what Russell are you getting at this point?
The Russell you saw?
He's going to want to prove
it. You know
it.
Which Russell you're getting.
Want to prove it though? That's the only thing. I don't know. Can he still have? We don't know. Has he lost his fastball? I don't know. You got either Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins? I don't know. Caleb Williams? We're gonna be. We don't know what. Like you said, domino effect is gonna fall, man. This is gonna be interesting. Literally. 60 seconds, Rob. Wrap this up, man. 60 seconds, man. Chaos.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna wrap up our show tonight. We're not having the OT portion on tonight, so. Next week, we're going to take the week off. We're going to be off next week. We're going to return back 2 weeks from tomorrow night. It's going to be Wednesday, February 28th. We're going to be in NFL Combine time around that time. So 2 weeks from tomorrow night, we're going to be back at you. So East Coast, we want to hear from y'all. Miami, that's going to be 11 p.m. on the 28th. We want to hear from y'all. And in Indianapolis, where the Combine is going to be, that's going to be 10 p.m. Well, I think Indianapolis is on Central Time Zone. I don't even know, to be honest. I might be wrong.
It's Central, but yeah.
And Mountain Time Zone, Denver, it's going to be 9 p.m. And the West Coast, from San Diego to Seattle, and it's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Good night, good people. Holla at y'all. Y'all better get them presents right, though, for Valentine's Day. Don't get caught here slipping tomorrow. Better get it right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, man. Yep, got the flowers being delivered. All good, man. So we're going to have
I come correct.
Yep.
Yeah, do right so you can buy the regular rose. You ain't got to buy that other rose.
All right, gentlemen. Press Rob, be safe, man, as always, man. Don't forget little people.
Yes, sir.
Man. I'm sure we'll be hollering throughout the week, man. Be safe, man. All right. Thanks, Nosh. See you guys, man.
Yes, sir, bro.
Y'all stop looking at Alicia Keys online.
Man, listen, I'm not doing this with you. I'm not doing this with you. I'm going to bed.
Habitual line stepper. It's already Valentine's Day. We can all be on the weak vocals. We
see that shape. We know what it is.
Whatever. Swift D should still be looking for Usher. He should be looking for Usher in the parking lot at KFC, at the mall. He should still be looking for Usher to whoop his ass. I'm going to leave on that. Listen,
the most habitual line stepper that ever lived. That man just gets on lines daily, man. And we're encouraging this. Sincerity.
That man hugged her and kissed her on her neck for no reason. Listen, I'm getting off here. I'm not messing with you. Good night, y'all.
Good night, y'all. No, his default setting is dirty neck. He don't know no other way to act. No, he's just a dirty butt. That's how he's been getting down since a kid. He a problem. Peace, y'all.
All right, John.
Good night, John.
Rob, see what you started, man?
Bye.
You started this, Rob. Habitual line stepper. Deuces.
It was a Super Bowl halftime show. That's talking sports.
Good night. This guy. I didn't even want to talk about that. You were going to bring that up, man. We got to get out of here. Stop getting in trouble, man.
Good night.